Hello, this week's podcast is about looking at patterns, looking at ways of healing, and asking the question, have you been dancing with the devil? Welcome to the Mindfuckery podcast, which is Feedspot's fifth must listen to podcast on emotional abuse. I'm your host, Elizabeth, and here we explore areas that others fear to tread. I've been a woundologist for over 20 years, working with past life wounds, clearing ancestral trauma, and working with this life wounding. And it's through my own experience that I know how much this hurts. I was sat in Greece, my life was crumbling around me. I became an unintentional author as the story fell out of me, which I now realized was actually telling me what was happening in my marriage. Following the marriage breaking down, I started to discover new words, a new language, phrases I had no idea existed. And I wrote the dictionary on emotional abuse called the A to Z of emotional abuse. And my third book, Divorce Matters, was written to support you. I discovered the abuse continued through that process via a third party. And the book has been put together to support you and get the closure you need, heal the emotional wounds. And your divorce matters are really important as well. And it gives you permission to ask for the information you've been told not to ask for. I am the founder of the Inner Healing Sanctuary and creator of Wound Talking, The Original Wound and Quantum Glow. I'm on a mission to educate as many people as I can on the effects of trauma on our lives, our children's lives, and heal the wounds of our mothers, of our fathers. It stops here, it stops now, and it stops with us. So welcome along the journey of a lifetime. And you are, as always, very, very welcome. So this week I want to look at patterns and I want to look at empaths and ask the question, have you been dancing with the devil? 8 years ago, I was sat on a beach in Greece and I had isolated myself from my family. I was doing everything I could to hold on to something that was crumbling. The previous year leading up to this point, I knew where I was headed. I knew that the marriage was over. It was very short. And I suppose it's very much like me overlooking the red flags I probably saw right from the moment that we got married. Within weeks of getting back, he was wanting to stay at a female friend's house overnight. And that had been nothing that he'd suggested doing before. And it did happen that once. And then I went into fawning mode and, you know, suggested that it isn't really something that a married man would really do. And although he couldn't get that concept. So I want to talk about seeing patterns. And it might be that you see patterns from the stories that you've been told throughout your relationship. It might be patterns that you see in other relationships. And that's what I'm going to expand on now. I've spoken a lot about the empath, and that might be on YouTube. I think I've discussed it in here as well. For me, the empath is the child that was born in an unsafe or unhealthy environment. I'm not saying that empathic talents don't come from other places, but to be attracted to a narcissistic personality, an emotionally abusive personality, I believe people that are in these relationships and experience this and have that empathic nature did it because they learnt how to tune in to the environment they lived in. And there's many occasions that I remember either walking down the stairs at home and then doubling back up thinking I'm getting in trouble for that, and it wasn't anything that I'd been involved with, or it'd be something and I knew that the temperature in the room changed, and very, very quickly there was a shift, and that was something I was able to pick up. I sensed danger and I took that into other relationships, and I was able to sense when I was in danger and I could redirect a conversation, I could change the atmosphere within a room, I could move people out of rooms or change what was going on to stop that eruption or explosion. So for me, as I said, I believe that this is where the empath is born. She's born, or he is born, out of the environment that they grew up in. And in unsafe environment, they learned how to pick up minute signals in the atmosphere. I've spoken before about us being vibrational beings. Our vibration is as unique as our thumbprint. we attract people that are vibrating on a very similar level to us. And reading these energies, reading these vibrations is very natural. It was something that we're all born with. All of us have this ability within us. It's just the empath that's born into that environment has honed those skills as a armor of protection. And the emotional abuser or the person higher up on the narcissistic spectrum won't even understand that concept because they have no emotional intelligence that would tell them that somebody's upset, that something is happening around them, because it affects that energy, it affects the vibration, but they're not tuned in any way. And everything that I've done over the, I'm going to say 20 odd years, it was going to be longer than that. But when I started training in this area and learning different ways of working with energy, that was my focus point about 22 to 24 years ago. I could already see wounds and I could already read wounds. And when people were talking, their wounds would talk to me. I'd understand what it was that had happened to them. Where the people had been adopted, that was quite a big one for me. I was able to tell that people had various different issues and unhealthy habits. I was able to tune into those wounds as well. But when I started to understand and understand about narcissistic abuse and emotional abuse and the difference, what I have come, this is where I've come to my conclusion. The narcissist has a set of wounding, and that wounding comes from a relationship they have with their mother and not being able to separate. About 4 years ago, I started to realize that, maybe five actually, that they didn't experience or go through certain developmental stages that other people went through. They didn't experience it. They didn't go through this separation between the mother and themselves. They don't see themselves as an individual. And then there was another set of people that I was looking at, and I was picking up from their wounds that actually they were wounded quite young in childhood. And I knew from the work that I'd done prior to my relationship breaking down and the intuitive work that I do, that I could see these individuals. I could see the age they were wounded. They were telling me because of the way they reacted in certain situations. Now, it's been my belief for a very, very long time that there's part of us, part of our psyche, part of our soul that breaks away in traumatic situations as a part of our as self-preservation. So what does that mean? That means that somebody might experience something horrific. They might witness something. They might be abandoned in some way or perceive that they're being abandoned in some way. And as a way of self-protection, that part of them steps out of their body. And re-listen to this if it's a concept that you're really struggling with. When I do the work that I do, when I'm working one-to-one with clients, I take them back and we pick up all the missing pieces. Part of that process is reparenting at the same time. People will have experienced a form of trauma, and that trauma then echoes right the way through their life. And so by going back to the original wound is the work that I do, and being able to heal that trauma, claim back that missing part is actually part of you. And the work that I did following the breakdown of my relationship and my personal breakdown was going back and doing a lot of this healing and picking up the 3-year-olds, the 5-year-olds and the 8-year-olds. And there were a lot of them that had experienced some form of trauma that had come out of the body. And not only was I healing the wound from that situation, I was able to pull in that part of me. Now, this work that I do, when I say you might feel whole in a way that you've never experienced before, if you look at your life and you look and think of a 3-year-old, say they experienced a traumatic experience at the age of 3, and each time part of them is separating and it's stepping out of the body as a self-preservation, when you call all of those pieces back, that is why you start to feel whole, because there's been bits of you that's missing. It's like having a missing piece or many missing pieces. So this is my split with the emotional and narcissistic abuse. Whether I'm right or not, I don't know, but this is just the work that I've been doing personally, understanding and working intuitively. I realize that it was somewhere between 2020 and 2022 that I started to look at this and realize that these people haven't experienced and haven't gone through certain developmental stages. Their relationships were, for whatever reason, they never broke away, and they don't see themselves as one person as whole. The emotional abuser comes under the other side of it, which is they might have gone through this developmental stage where they've broken away and separated. They see themselves as separate, but the trauma they then experienced in childhood meant that they are trapped and they can't move forward. They're trapped in an emotionally stunted state. These people have no empathy. They're living in a survival mode. But you can't save anybody. You can only save yourself. And this is how the empath, who has been walking on eggshells all of her life or all of his life, they spot someone. Now, it's very likely that this relationship, dancing with the devil, is that you've spotted someone. The emotional abuser or the narcissist walks in, and part of their bonding is to find your wounding and then tell you that you've got the exact same wounds and that they can help you, or that you mirror each other and you're meant to be together. The empath, who has experienced this unsafe childhood, has been parented by someone with huge wounds. They might be narcissistic wounds, they might be emotionally abused, and they've experienced emotional trauma and they've disconnected completely. And they're trying to parent you with these wounds. And as the child or the child empath, you might think that your role is to save a parent. And then you go into a relationship because you understand the vibration. You've lived in that environment. You understand and you recognize the echoes. You recognize the vibrations that are coming out. And something in you is saying, I couldn't help my parent, but maybe I can save this person who's vibrating on the same level that my parent vibrated. And I win because I couldn't save my parent, whether it was a mother or father, but I can save this person. And this is how you end up dancing in this toxic relationship. So when I say, can you see the patterns? That is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about looking at the people in your environment and seeing how they treat you and how you've always been treated. The words that you've heard growing up, you are more than likely repeating to yourself on a daily basis. A little earworm is telling you how you're not good enough or how you always let everybody down. It might be that you're compared to siblings, cousins, other people in the street, children. And these little earworms go in. And again, I've spoken about this so many times. It was the work that I was doing prior to 8 years ago, was working with people, helping them heal these wounds at the time. And the work that I was doing was, we live in a theta state up until the age of 7 or 8 years old. We take on these beliefs about ourselves, the people that are there to care for us, protect us and look after us. We think everything that they do and they say is the truth, but it might not be that way. And they are then repeating patterns that have been handed down from their parents, from the parents before them, from the parents before. And this is how the ancestral stuff comes in. The trauma that happened could be decades ago, could be centuries ago, that's fed through. The fear that comes through some of these lines, these ancestral lines. And this is a simple exercise that you can do and get a piece of paper. I'm running a course and it's going to be beginning of April, and it's called Honest Conversations, and I will give you more information on it shortly. And once I've got that, I'll put the link in the description for this. I teach various techniques, and Honest Conversations is one of the things that literally changed my life when I was trying to heal from this relationship that was being triggered by the divorce process. Hence writing all these books. It wasn't something I intended to do. Finding Lily fell out of me when I was in Greece. It wasn't until very, very recently, and when I say very, very recently, I'm talking yesterday, that I realized, and it was only through other events that have happened around me over the last 6 months, that actually that story was trying to tell me what was actually going on in my life. And I wrote the story out. It was something that had happened to me 26 years ago. And I remember writing it and thinking, I'm exactly the same position. I'm in exactly the same relationship. And because of that, I then went on and in a standing of what was happening and how I'd got to this point, I wanted to take responsibility for the role that I played. But also I could see the abuse. I could see the patterns because it's something that is just happens to me. I see these patterns. I was told the stories of the relationships that my ex was in, and I could see the patterns playing out in our relationship, in our marriage. So that was sort of how I knew roughly what was going to happen. I had a psychologist friend say to me, just as we were, I was more or less broken down at this point, but we were trying to cling on. And in my head, it was him trying to hand me over to somebody else to say that I was broken and this person was going to fix me. Anyway, I had a psychology friend sat in the background saying to me, how your relationship started will be how your relationship ends. So he told me he was single, and over a period of time, it became apparent that he wasn't single. He told me about one woman that he'd been dating and said it was finished. Then these other people appeared the first year of our relationship, not quite a year, it might be 9 months, when I was trying to finish this relationship. And he was saying, no, you're the only one. I want to change for you and all of that stuff. And that's where I saw the patterns. That's where I could see where this was going and how it played out. The people that were in his life that had been in his life when he was married were still in his life playing the same role again. But, you know, these things happen. For me, it's been amazing. It's been an amazing journey. Painful, on the floor, cried a lot, but honest conversations was like the key, being able to tune into the inner child that I'd been healing and been calling back, but having this honest conversation of what I really wanted when I really wanted to reach out after no contact for 2 years. And I didn't know why. Why would I want to do that after everything I've been through, the nasty things that have been said and the things that have played out and that were playing out through the courts? Why would I need this person in my life? But I was able to reach in and talk to this inner child. And that's what I teach in honest conversations. It was life-changing for me, along with grounding and breathing. The other thing I realized around about the same time was the projection of wounding and how this earworm that gets into the psyche, how you're told it's all your fault. Some of these wounds are easy to move on because they're quite new and they're not deep rooted. What I did find over a period of time was that some of the wounds were projected onto me that weren't even mine. So things that I had a belief about myself, I start to tune into my body and find that that's not true. And it's this pattern thing. So what I'm going to say to you is you can pause and grab a piece of paper or do this afterwards. So with a pen and a piece of paper, put the paper landscape. So it's the short edges on either side and the long edges top and bottom, and draw a dot at the left-hand side and a dot at the right-hand side and draw a line between the two. This is a timeline. Now, the timeline at the dot could be when you were born, or it could be the beginning of your relationship. The dot at the end, it represents the end of the relationship. It might not even be that. It might be where you are now, because the abuse can still happen after the relationship is over. You think of something. This timeline is to help you see the patterns. It doesn't have to be like a really expensive journal. You can do it in a children's exercise book that you can pick up for £1. You spread this timeline over 2 pages, and then you can use the rest of the book to write about the situations. Say you think about whenever we went out somewhere, there would always be an atmosphere. Maybe that's one of your things. It might be that they never came out with you to weddings, parties, or anything like that. It might be some sort of weird behavior that you saw. So you put that somewhere along your timeline. So let's say it was never coming out or ruining events, ruining birthdays, ruining weddings, ruining children's parties, anything like that. You can pick one of those and put that on your timeline. So it might be halfway through, you could do it in ages, your age. So you were 30 and this happened to you. And you put that event on there and then just sit for a moment. Were there any other birthday parties? Yeah, there were. There was my mum's 50th. There was my mum's 60th. There was my mum's 70th. You start to plot them out. And this is how you start to see patterns of behavior. It might be that you recognized the way they reacted when they were taken out of their comfort zone. So someone I knew, every time we went somewhere new, whether we were going to a party, whether we were going to a wedding, a work event, or something completely out of their comfort zone, they didn't know where they were going. It was a different venue. There would be this pattern of behavior prior to leaving, and it would be nasty words, nasty energy leading up to it. And it might be that morning, it might be the day before. And I started to see this behavior sort of unravel. And I started to realize that this was a language that they spoke because they were going into an environment they didn't recognize and they were out of their comfort zone. As soon as that person was there and they opened the doors and they started to calm down. But to the point then, actually what they did was, and this happened every single time, was projected onto me and mimicking as if I was the one that had the issue. I was the one that was at fault. I was the one that was frightened of going. That's what I'm saying about patterns. It might be that you look at your relationship and you see the infidelities that happened. I was told that of all the different infidelities that had happened in their first marriage. Now, that can be a form of triangulation. I started to see the patterns of these different people, these different characters playing out in our relationship. And it might be, as I said, it could be that the information's being given to you as a way to make them look popular and liked and in demand. It can be a form of triangulation. If something feels off, it usually is. And you might be told that it isn't, that it's you, it's your intuition is off, you've overreacting again, you know, this catastrophizing of information, and it's all your fault. Step back, put this timeline out. This is why it's so important to do things like writing your story. Write your story will guide you that it isn't you that is the issue. What they're telling you and who they are is the issue, making you believe this is your fault so they can hide their bad behavior. If they have an affair, it will be your fault because you weren't there supporting them. You weren't there providing them like a child's activity center, keeping them happy, shaking rattles and bells and, you know, providing them with the toys to play with. So they go off, they get bored, they climb out of the playpen and go and play in somebody else's playpen. But they tell you it's your fault. So this is, to me, this is the time that we really start to understand our intuition. The intuition was turned off and it serves the emotional abuser in so many ways for you to turn it off by telling you that it was wrong, you shouldn't trust it, and you think, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't. But your intuition was right. They're just lying to you. They're trying to cover their tracks. And each time you listen to your intuition and you were right, they're covering their bad behavior. Our intuition was given to us. We were born with this intuition and we have been guided to keep it open for a reason. You are vibrating at a certain level. Somebody has come in. They want that. They want you. They want your essence. They want everything that about you, the gorgeousness that you are, that empathy, that understanding, that inner knowing, that inner standing of how somebody might feel, how that might affect someone, how somebody might be upset by perceiving a certain situation, that inner standing that you have. Not everybody wants to hear that. Not everybody wants you to be using that intuition. So they get you to turn it off. At this time in your life, as you're healing, you can use your intuition to listen to what you want, to look at the life that you want to create, because you can do that. You can start to change your life around. You can heal on such a deep level. And by using these techniques, like writing out the story, writing out your story is going to help you every time you start to ruminate. No, they were right. He was right. She was right. This is me. This is all my fault. You look back and you say, oh, actually, they did that in every single relationship, or they continue to do this. And this is actually a form of abuse. This is why getting my book, when I wrote it, I wrote it in this format of the A to Z, like a dictionary. What am I feeling? It's like walking on eggshells. What does that mean? This is what it means. And this is what it feels like. And the vibration in your body is telling you that you're being very cautious about what you're saying. It's like picking up on that energy change and diverting and converting the conversation into something more acceptable where there's not going to be a reaction or an explosion. So by writing out a timeline, so drawing that line on a piece of paper and then adding in event, you'll start to see the patterns, the behavior that you experienced, and you'll start to see it as unhealthy. So you can start to unpick the beliefs that this is all your fault. You've actually got the evidence in front of you that it wasn't your fault. The empath dances with the devil because they recognize the vibration. And it might be that they weren't able to save a parent. It might be that they were so desperately trying to save someone who didn't want saving. That victim that they play constantly, woe is me, life is bad for me, this is my crutch and this is how I live, and this is how I get my attention, by being the victim. In situations that they have created themselves, they become the victim and they want saving. Only they don't. If you went and saved them, they'd be one, really angry with you for doing it because they now don't have a story, and two, they'd find another scenario, recreate it, so that there's, have you heard what's happened to me? Isn't this awful? They are the victim in every situation. And the tools are writing out your story, writing out a timeline so you can see you've got the evidence in front of you. So that as soon as that comes up, what your brain is doing is that you're in rumination. This is all my fault. I get it. And you're looking for scenarios. Your brain goes off in search to prove that the abuser was right. And you are the person that's caused all this. You are the problem. It is always your fault. You're always letting people down. Your brain goes off and it says, yep, look, there's a situation that happened there in 1978. Look, there's a situation that happened there in 1993, 95, 99. And it gives you all of these examples. It goes off purposely looking for the evidence to support these statements. So what we can do is say, actually, look, this is what I've been told. This is a belief that I've held about myself forever. This person came into my life. They took over my life. They destroyed me. They spent all my money. They destroyed every item I had, every relationship I had. And then they walked away. And then they're telling me that this is all my fault. Now, this happened. And they did this to this person. And they said this to this person. They made me not trust this person. And each time this happened, I had to bail them out financially. So now you've got the evidence that it actually wasn't you. So you can challenge those statements in your head, reframe it and move forward. I hope that makes sense because it's so powerful. If you want to join me, I was looking at the 6th of April, but I don't think it's going to be that date. It might be the week after, which I think is the 13th of April on a Saturday for 4 hours. I will give you the tools to change your life. If you're in, email me, drop me an email. I'll put the link below and say I'm in and I'll send you the details straight away. I hope that I've covered all three. I think it was, are you dancing with the devil? Let's unpick that one. It might be that you were, and that I've given you the reasons that you might have been as well. I'm not saying that is your truth. I'm just asking you, is it because, and you can start to look at those patterns. I've given you two tools to help you with those patterns. And I really, really hope that you can start to see how the patterns play out and how the patterns will help you. And then you can take it into other relationships. One thing I did really early on was actually sit down and list all of the people that appeared quite toxic in my life. And then I started to look at the relationships and realize actually, wow, this happens. And they're never there for me. Yet when it's happening to them, I'm there picking up the pieces. So I hope that you can use these tools to reconstruct your life, to see this isn't your fault, and to help you with your healing. Sending you loads and loads of love. Until next time.